Welcome, everybody, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm Bijuno Daiboken.
And this week, we're talking about all the Dragon Quest goodness that happened, like, the last week and over the weekend. There's been a lot that's happened since, I guess, really since we recorded our episode last week.
Yeah, it really surprised me how much came out or was going to come out. You know, it's been like, there's a lot right now.
Yeah, so the first thing that we wanted to talk about is that Dragon Quest Amiibo, the Hero Amiibo. It finally came out. You finally got it. You got, yes. You have mine and yours.
I do.
Because at the time I was moving, and so, you got one for me to ship to your house because I wasn't exactly sure where I would be at the time of the Hero Amiibo releasing. Now, I guess, because we haven't really talked about it. So now I need you to explain in incredible detail to me and anyone listening how the Dragon Quest Amiibo is.
It's like short and made out of plastic. It has paint on it, and he's got a sword, and it doesn't work with any games I've got. 2 stars.
Oh, man. It doesn't work with any games you have?
I don't think so. Like, I haven't actually tried it with any games, but I know it works. It's only, like, it's made for Smash Bros., and I don't have the Smash Bros. Ultimate, so I have no idea. I don't think it works with anything else, because you have to, turn on, like, Amiibo scanning functionality, and DQ11 doesn't have that, where you can go in and actually click on anything to cause it to scan an Amiibo, and I'm not sure if there's any other game that it would be able to work on. Same for the Joker one.
I was curious because I know the whole thing with the Hero Amiibo is that it's compatible with Smash Brothers, but I'm like, I would still, if it were me, I would still boot up 11S on my Switch and just try and just stick the Amiibo onto the analog thing, you know?
But I don't have it installed. As you and I were talking this morning, I had uninstalled it and only have the digital version to put in. So it was like, well, nope, not going to do that.
I mean, I've looked on the internet and no one says, hey, it works with 11S. Right. But I think just out of stubbornness, maybe, I would still boot it up myself and hold it over that analog stick and be like, work, and just see if I could like squeeze something out.
Now, it is actually a cool Amiibo. Like, there is only one thing that I don't like about it, and it's the same problem that I have with the Joker one too, so I'm not just harping on the Hero, but all the other Amiibo that I have are really, really solid. You know, like, they are hard plastic, they are thick. It's like, when you get them, this is kind of like the Disney Infinity ones. Like, you know, this is a sturdy piece of plastic that you're not going to mess up by using it. And these feel delicate. That the Hero feels way more delicate than the others. And his sword, you can actually bend it. Like, it's actually not like straight. Like, the Hero sword is curved a little bit, and I've had to try to straighten it out, but it's that kind of malleable plastic where it's just like flimsy-ish. It feels like a plastic cloak on a Star Wars action figure, if that makes sense. Like, not the really, really flimsy ones that are like super paper thin, but the ones that you can move around just a little bit, like the old like 90s ones.
Huh.
I'm kind of sad about that because I wanted this like really sturdy one. But other than that, like, it looks great. Like, I love that it's there and that I have it. It was just, that surprised me because of all the other Amiibo basically being something I could bludgeon someone to death with.
I think that, yes, early Amiibo were definitely murder weapons. but I think it's kind of been one of those, I mean, I'm very disappointed to hear that, but I think it's been one of those progressions where they've gotten, maybe not necessarily cheaper, but cheaper in their quality.
Right. Where,
like, you know, like that, like the Donkey Kong Amiibo, which I know you have.
Yeah.
Like, that's
what
sucker
I'm actually thinking
heavy.
Of. It's like, I could murder my wife with this one. It's like, I'm going to pick this up and I'm like, Jennifer! And like, that one is something that the police would take, but they see the Hero and it's like, well, I don't think so. Even if it was covered in blood.
Yeah. So this episode will definitely be used as evidence
yep,
at some point, one
at
day
some point in my life
in the future.
But yeah, like, the only things that actually move around like that are, like, it's because his arms and sword and shield and everything are thinner. Like, actually, his
thinner.
No, no. Scold you like a dog. Like, the actual figure is good, like in solid and everything. It's the add-ons. It's like his sword, his shield, and the scabbard on the back are they're movable, I guess is the better way to put it. Like, they're not thin or anything like that, but it's like you touch them and they're a little bendy. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I mean, I do like it. Like, I'm like I said, I'm glad I bought it and I'm glad that it exists.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back because I have a lot of the various Zelda amiibo. Like, I have all the Breath of the Wild ones, and I have the Link's Awakening one that came out last year and some others. And so I'm just trying to think about those. And I think the weapons on all of those are kind of bendable too. So maybe it's just that Donkey Kong is such a sturdy dude to begin with and he doesn't really have accessories.
Yeah, I mean, maybe so, because the other ones I have are Donkey Kong, I've got Princess Peach, Toad, and the Inkling Girl from Splatoon, and they are all hard plastic, even her tentacle hair. Like, it is, they're solid things, so that's why I was just surprised at the hero being like that.
So I guess last question, before we move away from the amiibo here, I think that everybody is probably wondering, is what does it taste like, BJ?
I don't know, hold on. Doesn't taste like a... It doesn't taste good.
So on a scale of like peppermint candy to like Switch cartridge.
It's about three ranks up from a Switch cartridge. Like, it's not tasty. It's not tasty plastic.
Up? Like, it's worse?
No, like it's better. Like
okay, Switch cartridge down.
Is the bare bottom. Like, I was thinking of the Switch cartridge being like the floor. That's where it's like the worst. And it's like you... Like, going up the ladder to better.
And it was working up the ladder to worse. So that's the
okay. Okay, okay, gotcha. Yeah, but three ranks away from the positive away from the Switch cartridge, because it doesn't taste good.
So, just like, out of curiosity for myself, can you compare it to anything?
I don't know. It doesn't,
like, that I would have tasted.
Hold on, let me lick a Funko Pop.
I haven't licked a Funko Pop. Should I just go lick my amiibo? It'd probably
the
taste
Funko the Pop. The Funko Pop tastes better.
Oh.
The Funko Pop licking a BB9E Funko Pop tastes better than the Hero Amiibo. Just for anyone out there who wants to know.
All right, cool. So I think that about does it for today. Thank you guys for listening.
That might be the weirdest podcast segment I've ever done, and I've been doing this for almost 5 years.
So I do want to mention really quickly, before we get away from action figures, I did get the Tuffy Bring Arts figure last night, actually.
Yeah. It looks really cool.
It is super high quality. Like, I think it's actually better quality than the Dragon Quest XI Bring Arts figures I own.
Really?
But some of that may be going back to the whole Donkey Kong argument. It's because, you know, that the Tuffy is like Donkey Kong. He's a sturdy dude.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Eric, Jade, and the Luminary, the three 11 figures that I currently own, they're all pretty, like, lithe figures, you know? And so I think maybe that might have something to do with it, but just the paint job and everything just feels like, I mean, it's a nice figure, and I'm really glad I got it. I totally found it on eBay for like $50.
Oh, yeah.
Which is still a lot to pay for a figure, but it's a Bring Arts figure.
Yeah. I still haven't been able to bring myself to pay for a Bring Arts figure because it just hurts me to pay that much for a single figure. Like, it's, I don't know what it is, that $20 is my high limit on getting an action figure. And I don't know, I don't know what it is, but I think that it comes from being a kid and action figures being $5 when I was growing up.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, you know, inflation, generally I'll get these and, you know, $8.99, $9.99, good, up to $20, depending for like a Black Series figure in Star Wars. Sure. And then I see like the blister pack, like, that they have now that came out for like the not Force Awakens, but the Rise of Skywalker. And it was like $13. I'm like, ooh, perceived value of that's lower. But the Bring Arts, like, I see the value in it, but I just can't bring myself to buy it. I just can't bring arts myself to buy it. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. And I guess that's really why the Bring Arts figures I own have all been purchased on sale.
Right.
It's because, you know, I think that the normal price for those is like $89.99.
Something like
which
that.
Which is way more than I'm willing to pay. So to me, it's like when I see a $90 figure that I can scoop up for 50 or even 60 bucks, that's kind of where I, like, when it drops down to 70, I'm like, that's a pretty big discount for a Bring Arts figure. But when it drops down to like 50, I'm like, I'll do it. But that's kind of how I feel like about the, what are they called? The Neandroids or whatever.
Yeah, I love those, but just that they're the same thing. It's like, I love those, but then I look at Funko Pops, I'm like, those are so much cheaper.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm sorry to offend any Neandroid. How do you say it?
Yep.
Neandroid?
I don't know. Neandroid and Neandroid.
Sorry to offend people who like those, but I'm just going to come out and say it, that those are just Funko Pops that cost $80 instead of $10.
Yeah, it's why
I can't buy them.
Nindoroid. Yeah, I don't know Nindoroid.
Yeah, it's why I have no interest in buying the Hero one, because I'm like, I'm not going to spend $80 for that when I could get a Bring Arts figure for the same price, and Funko Pops cost like $10. Maybe it tastes better. Maybe it tastes even better than the Funko Pop.
It might, because the Funko Pop does taste better than the Amiibo. But I mean, for real, like I want that Hero. I want the Luminary, but it's so hard for me to justify. And I've seen them in person being expensive. Not the Luminary, but I just see them and I'm like, these look really, really cool. I would like to have these as part of my display. And I know that they come with like different parts, like they have weapons and effects, and like the Luminary comes with a different face and a slime and different arms, apparently, looking at it here. But it's still like, it's so expensive in comparison. I just can't.
And in my experience with the Bring Arts figures, like, I don't really use any of those extra like hands and arms and faces.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe I'll replace one of the hands so that Eric can hold this weapon instead of some other weapon.
Right.
To me, I would much rather have just an Eric figure who came with a dagger that was $20 than paying $90 for an Eric figure that comes with five different hands and he can hold like a dagger and a boomerang. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm seeing like this one, like I'm looking on Square right now. Yeah, they're $65.99. So it's not the like $90 I was actually thinking. But still, whenever I'm getting that much into the toys, it's like, and I think it's because of the Amiibo and the Funko Pops being cheap enough and so mass produced that I put value at those, where I'm like, oh yeah, I'll pay that to have that on my desk. But it's really hard for me to pay $65 just to put something on my desk.
Yeah, I totally get that. So moving away from action figures here, the other big news that came out last week was Dragon Quest Tact. It's coming west.
Yeah.
Officially, it's coming west. That was announced just, I think, right around the time we recorded last week. Like, we knew it happened, but we didn't necessarily bring it up because we were going to be talking about it this week. But Dragon Quest Tact, it's coming west. It's that tactics game that Austin has always wanted from Dragon Quest. Hopefully.
It is.
And it is mobile, which kind of, you know, I'm pretty wary about. The game isn't early access, and you signed up for that because you have an Android device, correct?
I did, and I have not. Yes, I do, because I switched to iPhone, but I'm from a Note 8, and no one ever bought my Note 8 on eBay, so I just have it sitting around, and I'm just waiting on the notification that I can get into the DQ Tact thing, because it's like, why not? And you can emulate it, too. BlueStacks is a great Android emulator. Like, that's the kind of thing, like, I use to try stuff. Like, right now, it's I don't have access to it, but I cannot wait for it to you know, tell me I do.
Yeah. And I've applied for early access. I don't know if I'm getting it or not, but hopefully.
Did you? I didn't know you had anything to do Android. Did you do the BlueStacks thing?
No, I did
thing?
It through work, so it's iOS early access.
Oh, look at you, fancy
my
man.
Job. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if it'll go through, but I definitely applied for it last week when the opportunity presented itself.
Of course, yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'll do this. I don't know how any of that works yet, but I've applied for it, and I'm hoping to get some early access on iOS in the near future. Dragon Quest Tact, we got to talk about this, because I don't think we've ever brought it up on this podcast for a number of reasons, mostly because I don't want to talk about it until I'm holding it in my hands, and I've got it in protective plastic, and I'm sleeping with it in my bed. But I won a Dragon Quest TAC Super Famicom box like months ago. You did. And I never win anything. So it's a really big deal because just a slight tangent on my luck here for background so people can understand why this is such a big deal other than the fact that I love Dragon Quest. I don't win things, okay? Like, I'm a very lucky guy in a lot of respects. But like, my wife, my kids, they're all great. I'm a very lucky guy. But in terms of actual luck in like the lottery or like scratch off tickets or whatever, very unlucky. I have family members who that's their thing. They put lottery tickets in people's stockings every year at Christmas. Every time I've scratched one off, I've never won one. I'm like the only person out of like 20 some odd members of my extended family who I think has never won even like a dollar from a scratch off ticket. Like somebody always, like multiple people usually win at least a little money every Christmas, even if it's just like, you know, a couple bucks. And so never have, not exaggerating, just never have. Huh. I have never won big, like at any of the couple of casinos I've been to in real life, never won big there. The only time I won something other than DQ TAC was when I was a kid. I was about 12 years old and my dad entered my brother and I in a drawing for various prizes. It was like a raffle. And my name was pulled as winning a riding lawnmower. I won a riding lawnmower, okay, when I was 12. But instead of my dad being like, oh, since you won this, you know, I'll give you whatever money for it and I'll buy it and use it from you. Instead, I remember he drives it up in the back of his truck, unloads it with my grandpa. They're like, he's really excited. And I grew up on a farm. And so our yard, like the part you actually mowed and everything, not counting like pastures and stuff, our yard was a good 5 to 6 acres. Like it was a lot of land to mow. Okay. My dad, he unloads the lawnmower and he's all excited and he's like, look what you won, son. You got a brand new lawnmower to mow the yard every week.
Oh my gosh. Did you have to? Did he actually make you?
I pretty much mowed the grass. Yeah. I mean, I had already been mowing the grass because after I got up to about 10 or 11, my dad was like, oh, you're old enough. You can help me with the yard work now.
Oh my
goodness. So yeah. And then when my younger brother, as he got old enough, he usually did that because I spent summers in Florida. After I got like 13 or 14, I started spending summers in Florida. So I didn't have to mow. So I wasn't around when, you know, the grass really had to be mowed in Tennessee. But yeah, I'll never forget. That was the one thing I won, BJ. It was an excuse for me to get to mow the yard every week.
That's delightful.
Really, the only thing I've won previously isn't really a prize at all. So winning the Super Famicom box prize pack thing with DQ TAC is super cool. Still don't have it. Still don't have it because it was only available to people in Japan. The only reason I won it is because I wasn't even trying to win it because it said it was only open to people in Japan. But I retweeted it just to like let other people know because I liked the artwork on it and stuff. I didn't mean to retweet it to like enter it to win. I was just retweeting it because I was like, I'm never going to win this, but other people should see this cool thing.
Right.
And then the Dragon Quest TAC account DM'd us and was like, hey, congratulations, you've won. And I didn't believe it.
Right, and this came through on the DQFM account, not your personal one.
And I even messaged you because I was like, holy crap, I won this. I didn't even mean to. I just RT'd it. And they've messaged us. It's real. It's legit. All this. And then thankfully, you have a friend who lives in Japan.
Right. Jennifer had in college had a Japanese international student who lived here in the United States, who was going to school, live with her over a summer, and they got to be really, really close. And so she now lives back in Japan. And so we contacted Sako about getting it. And so she filled out all the information, everything, which was a godsend for me because the form confused the living crap out of me whenever I was looking at it, even through it was being translated. So it was, she got it all figured out and sent to her and has it in hand right now. But because of COVID, every time she's taken it to the post office, they won't send it to America. So like she's taken it, I think, twice and then called them as well, and they will not send a package to America. And I can't remember where she lives, but right now, because she's moved a couple of times, but wherever it is, they won't let us have our box.
Which is really weird to me because I've ordered things and received them from Japan since then.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know. And like Jennifer doesn't want to keep badgering her about this right now because we've asked fairly recently about it. And she's like, yeah, I called and they said no. So we'll see. We'll get this eventually. Sokka will eventually be able to.
I think she's secretly a Dragon Quest fan and is keeping it.
I doubt that.
Maybe her husband is a Dragon Quest fan and he's keeping it.
Maybe so. I don't know her husband at all. I just know that they made a very cute baby, and I love looking at pictures of their baby and their cat, and but I know nothing about his personality, and I've only met Sokka the one time at our wedding.
But it's hard for me to consider that I've won it yet, because I have such bad luck with winning things, that even now with us talking about it, I'm like, because I even told you, you know, whenever she got it, I was like, you were like, we got it. Yay. And I was like, don't count it yet. You're going to jinx us. And then you're like, nah, it's all good. She's got it now. She's going to mail it out. It's get done. And I was like, nah, man, you're going to jinx us. And then like 2 days later, you're like, oh, because of COVID, she can't send it out. And I was like, see, dude, you jinxed us. I knew it.
And I don't believe in jinxes. That's not something that's a thing. And so eventually we're going to get this. It's just bad luck on our part, bad coincidence and situation.
Well, maybe it's not a jinx, but I have very bad luck. I historically have very bad luck with these things. So I still think I'm probably never going to get it. I even have this rule that I don't lend out like books and stuff to people anymore, because when I was in high school, and then like after graduating high school, I took a couple years off between high school and college, I would loan people like DVDs or movies, and then it was like I wouldn't see them again. Or like I loaned a girlfriend a bunch of DVDs and then we broke up, and I didn't want to the awkwardness of going back and be like, hey, can I have my DVDs back? So
I get it.
I don't loan things out to anybody. And then like 2 years ago, this girl that I worked with at the time, she'd been working for this company for like 10, 11, 12 years, something like that. I'd known her for that long as well. And I let her borrow one of my Dark Tower books.
Right.
I was like, yeah, we see each other all the time. It's not going to be a big deal. And then seriously, like a week later, she found the other job. And now it's been like 2 years and I know I'm never going to get that book back.
You're not. You're never going to get it back.
And so now I refuse to let people borrow anything. If I let people borrow stuff, something always happens and I never get it back.
You let me borrow things.
That is true. I do let you borrow stuff. You're like the one exception, I guess.
I'm going to ghost you, though. Just one day, I'm going to ghost you and it's going to hurt so badly. And it's not because you love me. It's because I have all of your stuff.
All right. So I'm just not going to let you borrow my stuff anymore.
Aww.
So anyway, so because of all of that is to say that even though I guess technically Dragon Quest Tact, I guess I won it. I'm not considering that I won it until I hold it in my arms, even though it's going to be like 40 years from now and I'm going to be an old man. I'm finally going to get it. But anyway, at some point, maybe I'll get it. I don't know. I'm still not wanting to count it. But Dragon Quest Tact is coming west. I'm excited about it. I'm like cautiously, optimistically excited about it. I don't know. How are you?
I'm actually really excited about this one because one of my favorite genres in general is turn-based strategy. And then this one in particular is on mobile. And it's like the one perfect genre for mobile to me. It's like if I stick with something, it's probably going to be a strategy game like this. Like the only game I've played extensively on mobile has been a game called Hero Academy, which is a game that's almost like this one. I've played Hearthstone, which is a turn-based card game, and then I've played a lot right now of Marvel Strike Force, which is one of those like 5v5 arena battler things, but it's that same kind of you go back and forth turn-based stuff. Like those work so well on mobile for me that depending on what the gacha mechanics are in this one, I will probably stick with this one just because I like this kind of game on mobile, and it's like the one kind of game that will get me to constantly open it up on the phone.
I love tactics games. Final Fantasy Tactics is one of my favorite. Tactics Advance even are two of my favorite like strategy games that I've ever played.
Right.
They're two of my favorite Final Fantasy games. I mean, I just really like those. And so even before DQ Tact was a thing, you know, I've even said that I wanted a tactics game like that for Dragon Quest. And then DQ Tact got announced and I was like, awesome. But then, you know, it seemed to be kept in Japan. But then now that it's coming west, I'm eager to play it, but because it's a mobile game, I'm still kind of like, eh. Like, I wish it would be like DQ Rivals, where it's mobile, but you can also play it on Switch.
Yep. I wish you could. I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping that they eventually put this on Switch where it's basically just going to be like the perfect Switch game.
Yeah. Also, over the weekend, other big thing is The Adventure of Dai, Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, Dainoda Boken anime came out. It came out in the West even with subs on Crunchyroll and even Hulu, which I already subscribed to, so it was really good for me. And you and I watched it.
Yep, exactly.
Before we get into Dai, though, we should probably break this up and have a little shameless self-promotion.
Shameless! No Dai Boken!
So we have a Patreon page that BJ is going to tell you guys all about.
So we have a Patreon page, and I'm going to tell you all about it. It's at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM, and we have all sorts of cool stuff. We do some mini-sodes. We actually have until the end of the year, you're getting a copy of Press Start, the Geek to Geek video game magazine that we're doing as a bonus for y'all. We have Discord roles that you can get, and we even let you pick an episode of this to talk about. Just tell us what you want, and we'll do an episode on it. So you can go to patreon.com/DragonQuestFM to give it a shot and support the podcast.
And I actually mailed out a few stickers to our newest patrons today, actually, this morning,
right,
sending an anniversary mug to Dan, one of our patrons, who's been a patron for a year now. So he gets it.
Oh,
gets
wow. I didn't realize he had come up. Yeah, awesome. Thanks,
anniversary,
Dan.
Anniversary mini mug right there. There's also a new minisode up. The day that Dai came out Saturday, well, it was Saturday, came out during the nighttime, but Saturday morning, I watched it really early with my daughter, and I was really excited about it. So I even recorded like a first impressions minisode that you can find over on our Patreon page too, in case no one's listened to that yet. Pretty short. It's like 5-6 minutes long. It's just my general first impressions of that episode. But if you haven't listened to that yet, be sure to listen to it. We also are doing this thing called the Dragon Quest 7 Play Along. We're doing it with our friends over at the Nerdberg Review, Todd and Alenzia. So instead of us talking about it, we're going to let them tell you about it.
Hello, everybody. We are going to interrupt your currently listening to podcast to bring you a little bit of a blurb from, well, us. We are from the Nerdberg Review podcast. My name is Alenzia, and with me is my brother, Todd.
Hi, and we want to talk to you about the Dragon Quest VII Play Along.
Well, Todd, I thought that Dragon Quest VII was a single-player game.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Alenzia, because it actually is. But we are teaming up with Dragon Quest FM to try to get everybody to kind of play Dragon Quest VII at the same time during these next few months. And you'll be playing it by yourself, but the idea is a whole bunch of us in the community will be playing it too. So you can tweet, for example. You can tweet at Dragon Quest FM, or you can tweet at Nerdberg Review, or preferably tweet at both. Any thoughts or opinions you have on the game as you're playing it, you know? You say, oh, I love this character. Tweet that at us, and then we can say, oh, yeah, we love them too, or whatever. And we can have a little discussion about the game as we're playing, because even though we're in different parts of the world and everything, it's fun to talk about our video games with our friends, and all of our listeners are our friends. So we invite you to play the game with us and then have a discussion about it online. And in a couple of months, the Dragon Quest FM podcast is going to do an episode, or several episodes, I imagine, deep diving into Dragon Quest VII. And it'll be fun to listen to those episodes after you've just finished playing the game, so you'll know what they're talking about. And Alenzia and I are going to talk about Dragon Quest VII and maybe 11, but we're going to do some kind of Dragon Quest podcast of our own. And you should come listen to our episode too. And we'll all talk about Dragon Quest things together, and it'll be awesome.
Check it out. Play a lot of Dragon Quest VII and take a listen to, obviously, you're already listening to Dragon Quest FM. And also, we would appreciate it if you would hop over and also listen to our podcast, The Nerdberg Review.
Oh, Lindsay, what is The Nerdberg Review about?
Nerdberg Review is where my brother and I, Todd and I, like to just kind of get together weekly and chat about what video games we've been playing. So we would love to have you come and listen to us and give us your thoughts.
And now, back to Austin and Beege.
All right, so thanks, Todd and Alenzia. And we'll get straight back to our episode where we're talking about Dragon Quest Dai. So, BJ, what did you think? First episode.
I really liked it because it was so close to the manga. that it was crazy, and I didn't realize. Okay, so in the manga, it was a fan translation, and the grandpa in it, the monster that raised Dai, was named Borosu, and I was like, oh, that's his name. I didn't even think about it. And in English, it's Brass. Uh-huh. And then I sat there, and I'm like, yeah, Borosu, that's Brass. never crossed my mind that would be a phonetic translation side by side, and it was like, okay, that's never thought about that, but yep. And that one surprised me, and it really did. Like, it wasn't a long episode, it was a 23 minute episode, but this one felt long to me. I don't know if it was Hulu putting in extra ads on this one than normal or what it was, but this one felt about 6 minutes longer than I expected it to be, where when I thought it was over, it didn't end. And it may be because it covered multiple issues of the manga, multiple chapters of it. So that may be also coloring the way that I'm looking at it because of having it broken up before. Mm-hmm. But I really, really like it. It's so pretty. And like the King Slime, like, I know you sent me a video of Nomi getting really, really excited when she saw all of the little slimes turn into a big King mm-hmm. Slime. I did the same thing. It made me really happy. I just sat there and grinned. I'm like, yeah, no wonder Nomi loved that. That was like really cool.
Yeah, I liked it too. I didn't. It felt like a normal episode to me. But yeah. We also our Hulu subscription doesn't have ads.
Oh, I got you.
Not to brag, but we pay extra, so we don't have to watch ads.
And our Hulu comes bundled with our Spotify Premium because we're cheap.
It's actually because we usually watch Hulu with ads, but right now. My wife was wanting to rewatch How I Met Your Mother, which is on Hulu.
Yeah.
After like 3 or 4 episodes of rewatching that show, we were like, oh my God, we can't deal with these ads. So so we were like, okay, we can probably binge watch this entire series like in a couple of months. So we'll just pay extra for like 2 months and then go back to not having ads. And it has been a couple months. We're like almost to the final season of How I Met Your Mother again. But now I'm just like, we've been so used to it. Like we're watching the newest SNL episode on Sunday, and
right.
It didn't have ads. And I was just like, oh, this is so nice.
It's nice without it. Where I was thinking about that when we were watching something yesterday that it wasn't Die. Oh, I was watching Superstore's Halloween episode. Uh-huh. And I kept seeing the same ad over and over again. Usually it doesn't bother me. But after watching Die and then that, seeing like that many of the same Harry's Shave Club ad, I was just like, maybe I want to upgrade our subscription.
Yeah, that was
maybe that's worth
it. That was kind of our thing. It's like it's an extra like $5 or $6. It's basically doubles the price that you have to pay every month.
Yeah.
But now that I've done it, I'm like, I kind of think it's worth it. That's how they get you.
It is how they get you. And it's funny that I feel that way. Like this is how they get you. Right. And this is a tangent, but it's also the same for a lot of y'all who use these services. Like, I had never thought about using YouTube Premium. That was something I'm like, I am not going to pay for YouTube Premium. That is stupid. And then Jennifer and I started watching YouTube on the TV for different videos and different actual shows that we would watch that would do long form videos rather than just, you know, silly 3 minute cat videos. And I got a message, an email from YouTube on my account one day. It was like, hey, you want 3 months of premium? And I'm like, sure. And I was like, this is nice. And we don't have commercials on YouTube on the TV anymore. And then I saw on the card just like yesterday when I was looking at it that apparently those 3 months are up and YouTube Premium charged me. And I'm like, but it's so nice not to have ads on YouTube. I never thought that I would keep this, and I need to talk to Jennifer about it because I paid for it, but it's really nice not to have ads on YouTube. I didn't realize how spoiled we were back in the day when we didn't have ads on YouTube. Like, it's nice.
And I could probably honestly count on my hands the number of times I've like actually watched something on YouTube. I mean, I guess there's videos that you or Grace show me that come from YouTube. Maybe.
Well, I mean, there's Dr. Pimple Popper and Dr. Pimple Popper and Dr. Gilmore are two of the ones we watch a lot that we just watch those over and over again because we like pimple popping and gross videos.
At my house, when I'm like, guys, don't watch gross stuff on my TV, please. I'm going to walk in and see it. And then I walk in and you guys are watching some kind of weird dog surgery.
That was Vet Ranch. Yeah, it shows you what vets do. It's really cool. They're saving all sorts of homeless animals.
Yeah. Gross.
And it's
no thanks.
Happy. It's always happy. All the ones on Vet Ranch are always happy endings, so you don't have any of the sad stuff. Like, it's great.
Anyway, getting back to Dragon Quest Die. I really liked the episode. I didn't think it was necessarily too long or anything. I really liked the animation style because it's not quite like traditional hand-drawn anime, but it's not quite CGI either. Mm-hmm. Where it almost feels like you're watching a cel-shaded video game, and I'm a sucker for cel-shaded graphics anyway.
Right.
And it almost felt like that kind of Ni No Kuni, more recent Dragon Quest, you know, cel-shaded graphic type, like TV show.
Kind of. I didn't think it looked cel-shaded except for certain scenes. There were certain scenes, like when all of the monsters were running away and things like that, that it did to me. But just like Dai being there and like just the normal every scene didn't.
Yeah,
but it may have also been.
It's the action shots. It's like when it.
Yeah. Those totally are.
It's like when it's zooming across the ocean and on the island and different things like that, where they use CGI instead. And it's like you can tell. And usually that annoys me. In TV shows or movies that are supposed to be hand-drawn animation, whenever it gets very obvious that they're using CGI for like a scene or so, it brings me out of it.
Really?
Yeah. And so, but it didn't happen to me with Dragon Quest Die. I also thought the music was great. I've seen online where people are whining because Koichi Sugiyama is not on there. And I'm like, whatever, you can like Sugiyama, but the music on its own for Die, I thought was good. And the theme song surprised me. Like, it was not the kind of theme song I expected Dai to have, but somehow it worked.
Yeah, it was pleasant. I usually actually don't like anime theme songs. I usually just like, really, I don't know why. That's just one of the things that I'm not a big fan of. And this one, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll sit here and listen to this. A lot of times I'll go to the other room or forward it or something to not watch the intro.
Well, it's also the fact that they are always incredibly long.
Yeah, that is part of it, too. And this one isn't. This one is not absurdly long.
I don't know. I thought it felt long. I thought it felt as long as a normal anime intro feels. I think it was my first time watching it, so it went by a little quicker. But I could see myself totally. I think it still was probably a solid, like, minute and a half, 2 minute intro.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, I liked it.
So how does it compare to the original? You've kind of talked about the manga a little bit. I was going to talk about the anime because you've read more of the manga than I have.
And I've seen zero of the original anime, actually.
I have only seen the first two or three episodes of the anime. And none of it was dubbed or subbed. It was just purely me watching it for the sake of watching it. And, you know, it's all in Japanese. And yes, I had other stuff going on. So some of my impressions may be a little skewed because, I mean, it's hard to just sit there and watch a show that's completely in another language without subtitles. But back like it's also been a couple of years. It was like back when I think we even talked about it in an episode of DQFM. So it's been a while since I did this, but I did watch it. And it felt both like what I remember the first episode of Die feeling like.
Right.
But it also, because of the animation and music and things changing, like it just felt newer and, dare I say, better. Like, I felt like the pacing was a lot better.
And that's something that I have with a lot of media that's either remade or rebooted or even just continued on with new sequels or something like that, is that modern pacing in television and movies is so different from where it was 20 or 30 years ago that I like it better. Like we've gotten to a point where the narrative, we know how to fit it together a little bit better and not have so much filler. I mean, that's why we have like 10 to 13 episodes in a lot of shows now, because of the format that we can do to, instead of having filler episodes that don't do anything, we've done that for the individual episodes a lot of times too. And I think Die may be part of that, where the 90s anime has a very specific kind of structure, and this one doesn't necessarily follow that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that all of that is probably true. So where I am with Die, because I'm not a huge anime person, where I am with Die right now is that I really enjoyed the first episode. Naomi and I, my daughter, had a ton of fun watching it together. I had to read the subtitles to her, so it was kind of like, because she can't,
right.
She's starting to learn how to read. She's only 4, and she can read like certain words and everything, but she definitely cannot read at the speed necessary to read those subtitles. And so,
right.
And so I was having to read it out loud to her, which made it like slightly less relaxing than it would have been otherwise, but it was still fun to get to watch it with somebody.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, I enjoyed it enough that I'm going to keep watching it, and I'm excited to keep watching it. Whereas because it's new, I think it's also, I like anime in small bursts. So like back when we were doing the Legend of the Hero Abel stuff, it was sometimes really hard for me because it was like, I couldn't just sit there and watch like 5-6 episodes in a row. I just couldn't do it.
Same.
Couldn't binge watch it. So because this is new and it's coming out every single week, I think it works a lot better with the way I watch anime anyway.
Yeah, I think it does for me too. Like I can usually get in about 2 episodes of anime before I'm like, okay, I really, you know, I'm good for right now. I'll come back later. And then this one, I'm like 1 episode at a time's about perfect, you know, and it's not even, it's just because it's just anime in general. It's the style, everything. And it's just because that's not been really my thing in years. But I like this one. Like, I'm glad it's coming out weekly. And I found that I like looking forward to shows again. Like, I've been watching Lovecraft Country, and it's fantastic. And it's what I look forward to every week. Like, it is the highlight of my week right now. And it's because I have a TV show that I really, really, really am invested in that I can look forward to. And I think Die will be that too.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to say before we wrap up today's episode is that we did a poll. On Twitter, asking people of all the new and upcoming Dragon Quest stuff what they were most excited about. DQ Tact, the Die anime, or the Die video game, Infinity Strash, the console video game. I was surprised that the console video game was in last place. Because that's honestly what I'm probably most excited for.
Yeah.
I think part of it may just be Die 1, the anime 1, but I think part of that may have been because it's brand new. It just came out and people are watching it now.
Right.
So excitement is high. Also, DQ Tact is now confirmed for the West. So maybe that's why it got second place.
Right.
And maybe that's why Infinity Strash was in last place. I'm trying to explain it to myself because I was very surprised that a console action RPG Dragon Quest game that looks really nice from the footage we've seen so far.
Real.
I was surprised that it was in last place because that was my number one pick on that poll.
Yeah, it really surprised me too, because that's the one that I want the most. Is to play the console game.
But I mean, I like all the other stuff. I'm not gonna, what's the expression? Look a gift horse in the mouth. I ain't gonna look a gift horse in the mouth.
Nope.
Yeehaw. But anyway, I'm excited for that as well. And I hope we get more news about all the other Die stuff pretty soon. Especially with Crossblade comes out in November, right?
Does it?
The spinoff manga?
I don't actually know. I don't know release dates on anything but this one.
Crossblade, I'm pretty sure, is in November.
Okay.
Needless to say, if you really like the Die anime, you're a big Die fan already, there's going to be a lot of Die content coming out later this year and going into next year. So be sure to stay tuned for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hopefully some of it will come west and we'll get to talk about it on here too.
Here's hoping. And I mean, there is the chance that we'll import Infinity Strash whenever it comes. So with like just playing it in Japanese.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, depending on what console it comes out.
Right, exactly.
Because if it's next gen, I haven't heard anything about next gen region locks. Have you?
Mm-mm, not a PS5 thing.
PS5 or anything?
I'm assuming it's not going to be region lock, given that this generation isn't. But
I don't know. But I mean, they go back and forth on
they
that.
They do.
So who really knows? Either way, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Remember, if you want to talk to us directly, you can totally do that on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DragonQuestFM and patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, you can do that. I'm at Dragon Quaston. I also have a regular Dragon Quest blog. You can find that at dragonquestaustin.com. I have another podcast. It's called JRPGs and Me. And there's actually a new episode that should be up by the time this episode is, over Skies of Arcadia. Ooh. So be sure to check that out. Yeah, celebrate its 20th anniversary this week. So it seemed like a good time to do an episode on that.
Never played it, and it's one that I have always wanted to.
So here's something I said in that episode as a teaser for you, is that Skies of Arcadia, it didn't do anything necessarily new, but the things that it did incredibly well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And you can talk to me on Twitter as at Professor Beej. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast, at geektogeekcast.com. And you can go to geektogeekmedia.com to join our Discord server, our Slack server, or check out all of the original content that we do, which is a lot.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.